Hey, welcome to Believers Fellowship. My name is Johnny. If you're joining online, thanks for joining us as well. And a couple things. John Lucas also wanted me to announce that the middle school family mission trip signups are live for that. And so if you have a fifth grader to current eighth grader, current fifth to current eighth, you are invited to come serve on the family mission trip. And it's going to be so much fun. John Lucas really wants me to put this out there because as of last I checked, the only people going are the Pearsons. That's me and my family. So we're excited. We are. But come along. It's gonna be a great weekend. It's a long weekend in June. It's affordable. And we serve Friday, Saturday. And then we have camp games and camp messages during the evening with the community. And it's actually an awesome trip. It's one of our favorite events that we put on. So live signups for that. And then January 1st, we're going to pack this house out with one service. So if you feel like, oh, it's so late, we sit up till midnight, you can still make it by 11, okay? I'm just throwing that out there. The 11 a.m. service, not too hard to be there. We will have childcare provided, but we're going to pack it out. It's going to be a church family service, so it's going to be so much fun. With that being said, I want to start things off a little bit because we got our families in here. The littles are in here too. So let's get some interaction going on. I want to hear, what are some of your family traditions that you have during the Christmas season? Okay, what are some family traditions you have, whether growing up or whether that you started as your own family started? If you're playing along at home on Facebook, you can type those in and we probably won't respond to you. But you can respond with each other. I'll get my phone out. I won't. So talk amongst yourselves. Take a couple minutes. Chat about what are some family traditions and why do you do those family traditions? All right? So what are some family traditions at your house or what you grow up with and why do you do them? Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, let's bring it back. I want to hear some of these Christmas traditions. Yeah, what do you think? Okay, yeah. So every year you guys get matching jammies as a whole family, and that's a lot of jammies, yeah. And you're not alone. There are some other people that do Christmas jammies. Some people last service did Christmas jammies on Christmas Eve, and you have to wear them all day, even Christmas Day all day, and I was like, that's why we're not doing Christmas on Sunday. We're not doing a service here in your jammies. Unless they're appropriate, you know, footy pajamas. It seems warm to me. Way too hot. What are some other Christmas, Addie. So you randomly find a tree. In your neighborhood, are we talking? Or like church parking lot? Like, yeah. Where do you get your tree? In the woods? In the woodses? Yeah, tree farm. Like you can go and you can just, okay, that's more legal. That's good. That's great. Yeah, somebody else. What's here? I think you're not alone. Yeah, look around. I also have cinnamon rolls at Christmas. That's my family tradition growing up. My mom would make cinnamon rolls, and then if there were any left, we'd have chili that night with cinnamon rolls, which is cinnamon rolls day, all day long. Not healthy, but fun. Yeah, what do you think, Trace?
We go on a walk with our pajamas around the block.
So you go on a walk with your jammies on around the block?
Yes.
That's so fun. Yeah, why do you do that? To work off the cinnamon rolls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. What are some other, one more. Yeah. Decorate gingerbread houses. Nice. That sounds fun. Do you eat the gingerbread house? Not usually because you like, it's decoration, right? Maybe you sneak one every window and you walk by. I know how kids are and grown-ups. I know how dads are. Yeah, like, oh, this hot, red hot looks good. Nobody likes red hots. Yeah, I hear you. Those are great family traditions. And the reason we come together, we create memories, right? My family tradition was also creating memories with cinnamon rolls and creating memories. We would all gather around the tree and sing Three Dog Night because we didn't grow up Christian. So, and then open presents, tear them open, right? It was just a good time. Talking about traditions, though, is that at Believers Fellowship, we tried to start this new tradition that is not normal for like a non-denominational church, meaning like we're not like a traditional church like with years of history, but we actually tried to focus on the Advent this year And maybe some of you guys have Advent calendars at home. That's a tradition. Yeah, we have one too. And we chose not to do the chocolate one years ago. My wife got creative and clever, and now we have to do it every year, where we put a new experience in each day, which is just a ton of fun. But at a church, we wanted to slow down during the busy, hectic season and try to refocus together on the true meaning of Christmas. So we tried to each week focus on a different word, and we had to do that, right? As a culture, are we a little out of control with our busyness, especially during the busy season of Christmas, right? How many people have been to more than one Christmas party? Yeah. One, two, any two? Keep them up. How about three? Yeah, how many people have been to three, four? Okay, you guys are crazy. I'm not going to go any higher because it'd be embarrassing for me too. Because there's like youth group Christmas parties, there's school Christmas parties, depending on how many kids you have. Then you're like in this classroom, in that classroom. There's holiday company Christmas parties, right? Those are the best or the worst, depending on where you work. Ours was the best. Love those holidays. Yo, they were great. Then what we got? Like life friend group Christmas party. Some of you as friends are like, let's get together and just add more pressure on us to find the best deals, to find the best food. There's just so much hecticness and chaos, right? And then you talk about travel. Like anybody traveling out of town this year? Yeah, or friends coming into town. Like, why do we do this to ourselves? Where we jam ourselves into a car and we drive however long in the holiday traffic, or we have to wait in lines at airports. And it's like, you forget anybody? Like, Kevin, right? Did you forget? Like you just, there's so much stress and chaos that as a church body, we wanted to truly just slow down and try to focus on one thing at a time. So that's what we tried to do. We looked at each Sunday of Advent. It's a year, it's tradition. It's not in the Bible necessarily, but it's still good to do. Right? It's still good to slow down. There's nothing in the Bible saying you can't have a tradition where you slow down and focus on God. Okay, so we tried to, as a church, focus on God and different attributes of what he can offer us during this Christmas season. The first Sunday, which was right after Thanksgiving, the Sunday right after Thanksgiving was our first Advent day, and the word that we focused on was peace. Okay? Peace. And we focused on Isaiah 9:6, which says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be put upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And during this chaotic, busy season, peace is needed. Even in the 2,000 years ago, you think about Mary and Joseph, like they needed peace in a world of chaos. You think about the world they lived in, where they had to worry about food security and safety when traveling, even traveling for in-laws, right? That's what Mary was essentially doing, driving down to Bethlehem. Not driving, walking on a donkey. I don't know. Not walking on a donkey. They had to travel and be crazy and chaotic as well, right? But the peace that was needed, because even finding out, like, hey, you're betrothed, you're engaged to be married, but she's with child, like, that's like another wrench in the chaotic world. And it took an angel coming to Joseph and Mary saying, hey, don't be afraid. God is still in control. There's still a Prince of Peace that is a peacemaker between the world and God. There's a Prince of Peace that calls us to be peacemakers to the world around us. We can still have peace even in a chaotic, busy season. Amen for that. But we forget, right? And so we have to move along. And the next week, we turned our attention from peace to joy. And as a church, for a whole week, we just tried to bring joy to the world around us. Thank you, joy to the world, yeah. But you think about it, these shepherds were the first ones to respond to Jesus, and they were out in their fields at night. You've heard the story and from Linus and the Christmas story, right? You've heard the story, and lo, there were shepherds, and they were lowly, and they were on guard duty, and it was nighttime, and it was a scary time. You know, nighttime is scary. There's wild animals trying to eat these little sheep. I try to be a good shepherd at home, where I don't let my kids out at night because there's wild. No, I don't let my cats out at night either. Because you think about, you guys ever hear coyotes at your house? Yeah? Yeah, around here, there's some crazy, scary stuff out there. So you try to be a good shepherd, keep your cats indoors at night if you love your cats, and apparently I do. Only because I love my children. And they would love their cats. They don't want to lose their kitties. So we keep our cats in at night because we're good shepherds. The shepherds were working night herd, keeping animals away, trying to just be, you know, doing their job. It was a hard job, but somebody had to do it. And out of the night sky, an angel appears. And what do they say again? It says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Anytime an angel sneaks up on you, you probably will be afraid. So they have to say the first thing out of their mouth, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's just an angel. And then they said this to the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The angels came to the shepherds first to show that this joy, this good news, this great joy was for everyone, young and wise, right? Rich and poor, it was for everybody. Because if you think about who the shepherds were in society even, nobody really wanted to hang out with shepherds because they smelled, right? First of all, they were kind of stinky. They lived outside. They did all their stuff outside. They ate outside. They cooked outside. They laid down with, you know, sheep close by. Like, turn to your neighbor and smell them. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Yeah, they don't smell too bad, right? And if they do, let me tell you, it's not as bad as what a shepherd would smell like, all right? The shepherds, they just were outcast in society. But guess what? They were the first ones invited to worship Jesus. Good news, great joy. This Jesus who was born in a manger is for all people, even those that think they are left out. And if we feel left out this Christmas season, if we feel left out even in life, good news for you, good news for me. Joy is for you. So then as a church, the next Sunday, last Sunday actually, we tried to focus in on hope, all right? And hope is hard for some of us during this season because it brings up all these memories and reminds us of some hope that has been dashed. But we had a chance to focus on hope, and we looked at the wise men who hung their hope on, of all things, a star, all right? I don't know what kind of hobbies you guys have, but I can guarantee you this hobby sounds more expensive the more you read into it, all right? Because these wise men, whoever they are, they have these charts, and they look at the stars like their hobby is stargazing. Not too bad, but they know the stars so well that they recognize a new star rising. And they're like, is that new, Fred? Nah, that's your imagination, it's a satellite. No, satellites aren't invented yet. You're right, maybe it is a star, right? And you think about these stars and how beautiful they are and how many stars there are. On a clear night, you can see a lot of stars. Keeping track of all those, for whatever reason, these wise men had star charts and they're looking at stars and they're like, that one's new. That's brighter, it's bigger, it's beautiful. What does it mean? So they're searching, you know, old writings that they have, and lo and behold, there's some writing that says, hey, this new star represents a new king that is born. And I don't know if I would be a very good wise man, because I'd be like, you believe all that? Like, are we really going to pack up all our things, bring lots of money, take however many years off to go follow a star? That's kind of a lot of hope to put on one star. I don't know if you've ever tried following a star. Let's pretend that we're following a star. Like, are we under it now? Is this the place? Nope. I guess we still gotta walk. Like, following a star sounds crazy, but they put their hope in this star. And I don't know how many palaces they went to. Like, I think this might be, nope. So they just kept going to palace after palace, asking about this new king. And finally, we read in Matthew chapter 2, at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 2, we read that the wise men, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. They noticed the star and they went to the palace and said, where's this new king? And then the king was like, I'd like to know that too. Where is this new king? I thought I was the king. But the wise men were like, there's this new king that's different than any other king that was born, the Messiah, Christ King, who's going to restore the world to its creator. So the wise men, they left, and they didn't find the king in the palace because Jesus wasn't born in a palace. Where was Jesus born? What's that? Elemoris, where was Jesus born? Yes, and a manger in Bethlehem. Absolutely. So Jesus wasn't born in the palace. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And it was totally probably blown their minds. Like, these wise men were probably shocked to see, like, oh my gosh, this king in a manger. Was that a shepherd that just ran by? Like, pee-wee, we smell you later, right? But they found this king, and they not only honored him with gold and with spices, right? They honored him with worship. It said in Matthew 2 that they worshiped him. This new king, the hope that was given on the star is now a new hope that they have a relationship with God. That's a hope that we can hang on a star. I don't know. That's a hope that we can put our trust in. So this week, we are going to look at the word love. As a church body, as a church family, I want to focus in on this idea of love. And to do that, let's put up John 3:16. And you notice there's no verse there, because even if you don't spend a lot of time in the church, you probably have an idea what John 3:16 is about. Let us prove it. Let us say together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever... Yeah, that sounded lame. Like this verse that we're focusing on love, like, no, you're not alone though. Whenever I ask, like, hey, teenagers or adults alike, I'm like, hey, do you know John 3:16? They're like, of course, that's the first one I memorized. You know, I don't even have to, like, I see it at sports stadiums and everywhere. Tim Tebow had it on his eye black. Like, John 3:16 is super popular. And so they riddle it off. It's either super fast, if you're a kid, like, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Done it. Right? And you're like, all right, good job, I guess. Or if you ask an adult, they're like, been asked this 1,000 times, for God so loved the world that he gave his one. Can we just stop with that? This verse is taken for granted. This verse, let's just slow down and read it a little differently, okay? For God so loved the world. He was overcome with love, okay? He so loved humanity, even in its brokenness and its hurtful language that we use with each other and the sin that's in the world. God so loved the world that he sent his son, right? That Jesus, who was the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was in heaven with God, perfectly in relationship, he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him, believes that he is the Son of God, that believes that he is who he says he is, believes that he lived a perfect life and died on the cross for that broken humanity. For God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, shall not perish. There's more to this world around us. There is a relationship with our God, our Father, and it starts now and it lasts forever. Everlasting life. That is John 3:16. And when you ask about John 3:16, or you're asked about it, or you ask other people about it, don't let the dreary, for God so loved the world. This is a powerful verse. This is about the love that God has for humanity. And when you think about this love, it is a crazy, humble love. We've been talking about this humble Christmas with our high school students. And I've had the chance a couple times now to ask both fifth graders and high schoolers some characteristics of babies. Okay, think about this for a second. Babies, what are babies like? And I won't tell you everything we said because I'm like, come on, you guys are so cruel. no, but like, talk to your neighbor. What are some qualities and characteristics of a baby? Think about it. What are some baby characteristics? Go ahead and talk to you amongst yourselves. If you're playing along online on Facebook, we'll get back to you in a month. Yeah. What are some qualities of a baby? Okay, bring it back. That's plenty. You're talking about other things now. Okay, let me hear it. What are some qualities that you guys came up with as a baby? Yeah.
Noisy.
Noisy. Babies can be noisy. I agree. Yeah, right here. Innocent. Innocent until proven guilty, right? Until they look sideways at their sister and steal some. Yeah, so they're, yeah. Yeah, what do you think, Nora?
Ugly.
You said ugly last. I shouldn't have called on you. Babies aren't all ugly. No, they're not. Babies aren't ugly. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, right here. What's that?
Delicious.
Stop. Delicious. Over here, yeah. Yeah.
Runny noses.
Runny noses, yeah. Okay. Joe, what do you think?
Cute.
Cute. They can be cute. Yeah, some of them are cute. Yeah, Brielle.
Vulnerable.
That was one that we recognized, right? Yeah, Frankie.
Pooping.
Pooping. Yeah. I don't think babies are the only ones that poop. Did you stop pooping when you grew up? No. The difference is you can clean up after yourself, okay? So there's the deal. Like, babies are so needy. Like, here's some of the things that we wrote down. We wrote down needy, right? They need to be fed themselves. They need to be cleaned. They need to be, you know, taken care of. They can't even fall asleep on themselves unless they exhaust their bodies down. They need help falling asleep even. They need, like, rocked and shushed, not shaken, but rocked, right? Babies are needy, okay? And they are vulnerable. You ever heard the saying, it's like taking candy from a baby. You know why we say that? Because it's really easy to do. Literally, you can take whatever you want from a baby and they cannot stop you. They are defenseless. They have weak little hands, okay? They can't even lift their neck up without, like, help. Like, seriously, babies are the worst at defending themselves. They need help. Dependent, right? We looked at this idea that they are dependent for everything. They can't even find their own food. And it's like such an insult to be called a baby, right? Especially in a family, like, you've called each other, stop being such a baby. Like, that's the worst thing ever. I think I've used that this week. I'm a bad parent sometimes. Quit being a baby, right? But here's the deal. We looked at those characteristics and qualities of a baby, and then we immediately contrast that with the characteristics and qualities of God. Like, what is God like? And I asked them, and the high schoolers had huge answers. They're like, omnipotent, omniscient. And I'm like, what do these even mean? All-powerful is what it means. All-knowing, like creator, perfect in every way, mighty, independent. They don't need anything. God is God. And then you look at the characteristics side by side, and you're like, okay, this is the kind of love that God has for the world, that he... completely perfect, powerful, creator, all-knowing, everywhere, God became a baby. We don't have to say baby like a swear word, but he came a baby, a needy, little, fussy, can't control his bowels baby, okay? This is the humility that was shown, that God so loved us that he sent his son to become a man, to become a baby and grow up to be a sinless human in order to save humanity. Because our world is broken and we needed that love from God to be shown. So Jesus humbled himself and became a man. And it's amazing that he did this all just to restore broken relationships. And our relationships are broken, but it doesn't even stop there, right? As humans, we have our emotions are broken, our bodies are broken or breaking down, right? There will come a time our relationships with family, with friends, like it's just really hard. Our world is broken. Yet God came. I love how Sean put it. The birth of hope came as a baby to show the world that, hey, this isn't the end. And on Sundays, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and we see the same characteristics as baby Jesus be played out even as grown-up Jesus. In the story of Christmas, we see that all are welcome, right? The shepherds who are month-to-month, paycheck-to-paycheck, lowest of the low, outcast, smelly, rough, and tough, they are welcome right alongside the wealthy hobbyists of wise men who came bearing gifts, right? Jesus grew up in the same thing. He welcomes everybody. His love is for everyone. Whether it be in John chapter 4, the woman at the well who has broken relationship after broken relationship, has no friends, who's kind of an outcast. Or whether it be John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, who is like a judge in Israel and sits on the council and is well off. And he comes to Jesus and he's welcome. Like Jesus has done what he did as a baby, as an adult, and he's continuing to do today, that all are welcome, all are loved. And when we receive that love, we are then changed. Notice everyone that meets Jesus, whether as baby Jesus or grown man Jesus, they leave differently. They leave wanting to share that love that they've received. They wanted to tell people to be a witness to the adoption of Jesus, the adoption into the family of Christ, that we can all be brothers and sisters and have restored relationship. And that's our gift today, is that as Christians, we get to celebrate Christmas differently. In the midst of busyness and chaos, we get to share the love that we have received with other people. And it would be nearly impossible without the receiving of love first. In 1 John 4:19, it says we love, like we are even capable of loving people who are broken and having restored relationships because he first loved us. So be thinking this week, how can we love people the way that God has loved us? How can we welcome them into the family of God? And I know that many of you are doing that already and have been living out that love. I can see through helping homeless teenagers through Coffee Oasis or Tacoma Youth for Christ. I see people serving God throughout the church and throughout outside the church and helping, you know, people through Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child and bringing people to you from Ukraine here, or even helping people be crazy enough to run marathons and support them in that, right? You know what I'm talking about. Her mom's training for a marathon. But yet we're doing it because we want to be aware of clean water and raise money to stop the drought, or not the drought, but stop people from drinking bad water. We want to raise awareness and raise money to end the clean water crisis in the world. Like, we are trying to put legs onto love, and we do it so that people can know who Jesus is and feel the same love, the same restored relationship that we have. So Jesus has come to restore life where death has reigned. And this Advent season, we recognize that and we slow down to anticipate it together. And even every Sunday, we slow down and try to recognize what Jesus has done for us. And in a moment, the band's going to come back up. We'll sing another song. We'll sing raucously, Joy to the World. And we'll recognize that we have that joy. But before that, we need to slow down and realize the reason for Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. And although it's really fun to sit around and open presents and have cinnamon rolls and jammies, right? That's not the true meaning of Christmas. Even though it's fun to look at the nativity and baby Jesus and how everybody came to him, I wouldn't even say that's the true meaning of Christmas. I like to look at Philippians chapter 2, where we see that we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus himself, who, although he existed in the very form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, but he emptied himself to being found in the likeness of man, taking the form of a bondservant. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The true meaning of Christmas is that hope was born, but hope grew up and he lived that sinless life that we might have a restored relationship with our Father. The true meaning of Christmas starts at the manger, but it ends at the cross. And I wouldn't even say it ends at the cross. It then, for us, it starts at the cross so that we can then go and be a witness to the world around us. And that's what we do every Sunday through communion, where we take the little bread and we take the little cup and we remember what God has done on the cross so that we might have a restored relationship. The broken body and the shed blood, the sacrifice made that, so that we can live. So that we can have a peace that surpasses understanding. When we're going through hard times, there's a peace in our hearts that Jesus offers. That we can have a joy in every circumstance. That we can then take that and have a hope that is not shaken even in the hardest of times, in the hardest of memories. Our hope will not be shaken. And then we have a love that we have received and then pass on into others. This is the reason we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know where all of you are, especially during the Christmas season. It can be really hard to remember and recognize God's love because you have so many memories and traditions that you've built up, walls around that. But if you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. You met Tim earlier. He's a non-staff elder. He'd love to pray with you. He'd be in this corner with his wife, Andrea. If you feel more comfortable praying, you can just say, Tim, can I just pray with your wife? And you can do that, and she'd be happy to pray with you. I'll be over here in this corner if you want to pray with for anything, big or small. But if you have never taken that step of faith to receive that love that God offers, to be adopted into his family, I would love to pray with you about that too. I'd love to answer any questions. And if it's not enough time in the last 4 minutes of Joy to the World, we can have coffee together. I'll buy you coffee at the church. God. seriously, I would love to meet with you, to pray with you, to answer any questions that might hold you back from a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And this is the thing that we celebrate every single Sunday, where we take the cup and we take the juice. We remember what Christ did on our behalf. Will you stand with us as we participate in the Lord's Supper? In 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it after giving thanks. And he said, 'This is my body that is broken for you, so that you might be restored back to your Heavenly Father. This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the body. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new promise of life. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us proclaim together. Will you pray with me? Father, it's through your Son, the birth of hope, that we have this opportunity to have joy, to have peace, to recognize and worship you for the love that you showed us. And Father, I pray for those of us who are going through a hard time right now, that have joy blockers and peace stoppers in our life. Lord, I pray that we will be able to take our eyes off of our issues and problems and broken relationships and fix them on the cross, where all is made new, where hope is restored. Father, I thank you for this Christmas season, where we can slow down and fix our eyes on you. Help us to do that this week. Help us to serve the world around us in your name. Help us to love each other in a restored relationship that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen.